Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. My dear fellow redeemed, thankful Christians, as we gather this evening to rejoice in the many blessings that comes from our God. I have an idea that as you gather here this evening, there are probably a number of things that could possibly be on your mind. You might be watching the weather, wondering if you will be able to travel or if those coming your direction managed to miss the last snowstorm that came early this morning, and if you're getting back home will be affected by the next one that's coming through in a couple of days. You might be trying to run through your mind thinking, okay, now did I get everything that I'm supposed to have, or did I forget something, that last-minute grocery check? Perhaps you got a few things left to do around the house, a little cleaning left to do. And perhaps you also need to work your way through those flyers. Because the next day after Thanksgiving, as everybody knows, is Black Friday. It almost seems to me, in a sense, that Black Friday has begun to eclipse Thanksgiving. And I always kind of wondered why they called it Black Friday, so I did a little bit of digging and found out that the Black Friday term was used back in 1951. Not a very complimentary term. It was used by employers and companies to describe this amazing plague that seemed to take place on the Friday after Thanksgiving. All the people who suddenly were sick and couldn't make it into work. By 1961, the Philadelphia Police Department always referred to Black Friday. It was a day that they were really not looking forward to. The streets were crowded with people and traffic. It was also the annual day for the Army-Navy game, and so Philadelphia was just buried with people. Parking was a nightmare, getting people through, gridlock. Everybody had to work on that day. Every police department had to be on full alert, guiding traffic. They called it Black Friday. Somewhere along the way, since the 50s and the 60s, the retail market has somehow turned this somewhat negative idea into a positive thing, at least on their point of view. Some have wondered if it wasn't because all of these companies running in the red up until the day of Thanksgiving, now suddenly we're in the black as the official Christmas season begins. All right, so what does all this have to do with what we're doing here tonight? We're going to be focusing our attention on the opening verses of Philippians chapter 4, which is the lesson that we read moments ago, verses 10 through 13. And as you and I sit in with the Apostle Paul and listen to his description of contentment, that's where the whole idea of Black Friday came into my mind, because I think there are times when it's a little hard to be content when there is so much that is so on sale. So let's learn Thanksgiving's secret. Before we rush into Christmas, before we rush into Black Friday, or whatever it is that we've got on our minds, let's learn of Thanksgiving's secret. Think about that. Let's reread verses 10 through 13. Paul says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord, now that you have revived your concern for me." Actually, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. "I am not saying this because I lack anything. In fact, I have learned to be content in any circumstances in which I find myself. I know what it is to live in humble circumstances, and I know what it is to have more than enough. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, while being full or hungry, while having plenty or not enough. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me." This evening, you and I rejoice in Thanksgiving's secret. This whole idea of contentment. Contentment is thankful, and contentment is strength. So as we ponder Thanksgiving's secret, we start with that first one that the Apostle Paul talks about. Contentment is thankful. Thankful to God. Finally, beyond a shadow of a doubt, any time you and I want to give our thanks to our Lord and our God, we remember all the lessons that we've had for this evening. There is no better place to turn our attention than to that amazing Lord and Savior. He is the one who is the giver of every good and gracious gift. And so you think about the things that we confess almost every Sunday in our creeds, rejoicing in the gift of God the Father. He is the Maker of heaven and earth, the one who gives you your eyes and ears, your mind and all your abilities, the one who continues to provide clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land and cattle, and all that we need, and all that we need for body and life. And He still preserves us, and He still protects us as He watches over and guides us. An amazing gift for day-to-day life. You think about the amazing Lord who is the Son of God, the one that you and I confess as the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who redeemed us, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. And all of that He did so that you and I could be His own and live under Him in His kingdom and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. No wonder contentment is thankful as we turn our attention to that amazing Lord and Savior. And of course, we like to talk about the Holy Spirit, the one who calls me by the gospel, enlightens me with His gifts, sanctifies and keeps me in the one true faith. Another amazing gift is that Holy Spirit uses word and sacraments to tell you all about His love and His grace and His mercy and hold you in His care and assures you that at the end of time when our bodies are raised, we will be with Him for eternity. Contentment is thankful. Thankful as we focus all of our attention on the one who is the only one who can give those perfect, good, and gracious gifts. But you notice that the Apostle Paul not only gives thanks greatly to that Lord, but he's also thankful to the ones through whom the Lord gives those gifts. Obviously, God is the giver of all of that is good. But he often uses what people have called his masks. God had supplied Paul's needs. God had taken care of him. But God didn't directly come and hand him whatever was necessary. He used the Philippians. They were the mask behind which God was hiding to take care of his gifts and to take care of his people. And so he is thankful for these Philippians who had concern for their beloved apostle. And as soon as they had opportunity to show that concern, they sent Epaphroditus and he brought that gift that supplied all of Paul's needs. Thanksgiving secret. Contentment is thankful. And both of those are sometimes hard, right? Contentment can be hard. It can be hard to be content when you are bombarded with all these things that are new and better and improved. All the things that you need to have and should have if you really want to be happy. It's hard to be thankful. For many times you and I, because of the sinful arrogance inside of us, end up like those children of Israel that were warned in the first lesson, where we begin to think that all that we have and are is simply because I've worked hard and I've done my best and I deserve it. And therefore I don't need to be thankful to anybody because these hands earned it and this mind carried it out. These are all things that I should have. And when contentment and thankfulness are hard, don't those things take us right back to the first commandment? Where I'm beginning to worship myself and worship the things that I have accomplished for myself, and I begin to trust my efforts, my abilities, my stuff, my things, instead of the one who is the giver of all that is good. How easy it is to get ourselves wrapped up in the gifts instead of being content and thankful to the one who gives them. That's Thanksgiving's secret. Contentment is thankful. And as Paul expresses that thanks, sitting in prison, the most joyful letter that we have in the New Testament was written while Paul was in chains, not able to do the things that he wanted to be able to do. But as he expresses that thankful contentment, he also begins to describe in amazing terms what that contentment is all about. He actually reminds us that contentment is strength. And so he says, I am not saying this because I lack anything. In fact, I have learned to be content in any circumstances in which I find myself. I know what it is to live in humble circumstances, and I know what it is to have more than enough. I have learned the secret to being content in any and every situation, while being full or hungry, while having plenty or not enough. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. The subject of that sentence is I, but it becomes very clear that Paul's not really focused on himself. He's not really interested in what he can do. He focuses in on that amazing gift that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ is the focus. Our Lord and our God is the one that he puts his attention on. Christ is the one who strengthens us. Think about his life and his death and his resurrection and the strength that comes and the contentment that comes. You've got everything that you could possibly need because you have Christ. He strengthens you with his life. Your imperfection, your rebellion, your self-centeredness, all of it is covered up in the absolutely perfect life of Christ that's credited to you. That's your strength. Christ's death strengthens you because there's payment demanded for all of that apathy and all of that arrogance and all of that self-centeredness. Christ paid it, paid off the wages of sin. Your death has already been died. You get the credit. Christ's resurrection strengthens you. He's alive. He's alive to keep on strengthening you. He's alive to keep on encouraging you. No longer in that grave, and you will no longer be in the grave forever as well. Contentment is strength. Our amazing Lord and our God who gives you everything that is necessary for this life that allows us to pray this rather amazing prayer from Proverbs chapter 30. He says, keep worthless speech and lies far from me. Do not give me poverty or riches. Give me food in the amount that is right for me. Too much, and I may feel satisfied and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Too little, and I may become poor and steal and so profane the name of my God. Isn't that a beautiful commentary of what contentment is? Lord, in your amazing grace and mercy, don't give me too much. So much that I forget who you are and I begin to think that I don't need you. Don't give me too little, so that I begin to think that I've got to take matters into my own hands because you don't care. Contentment is strength. Contentment allows you to look at all the things that God has given to you, the things of this life and the eternal things of the next life, to mentally do a checklist of all that has been given to you. Somebody wants to find contentment is really, really, really wanting what you already have. And what an amazing gift of the things that you and I already have. Strength. To stay focused on our God. To watch Him hold us up, carry us through, supply what is needed, so that you and I can be content in His grace. As you get ready for tomorrow and the days that follow, don't forget Thanksgiving's secret. Whether you're taking part in travel plans or you've got to finish cleaning up the house or if you do any of the Black Friday stuff, don't forget Thanksgiving's secret. That amazing gift of contentment. Because contentment is thankful. Keep your focus on that Savior. And then in Him, contentment is strength. That amazing gift of our Lord and our God, that contentment that is ours. And you know where the contentment comes from. It comes from Jesus. Amen.